This is the Rod Langway Fan Club.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rod Langway Fan Club podcast. I am your host, Jeff Roman. It's the Stretch Run Report. I'm with a couple of co-hosts who could maybe loosen up a little bit. Mr. Mark Chechnita.
Oh, on the contrary, my friend. I've been stretching all day in anticipation. I'm as loose as a noodle. Might slide right out of my chair.
And John Snowden.
All the morning downward dogs have left me very lithe and limber, so I'm feeling great, stretched out.
So here we are, guys. We're approaching the end of the season.
Yes, but there is still lots to play for. Division titles and playoff spots still up for grabs.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to. I think we'll break it down by conference here. So where do we want to begin?
Well, let's mix it up. We always start in the East. Let's go West, gentlemen.
Okay, well, in the Western Conference, it looks like the playoff teams have been established. We know who's going to be playing for Lord Stanley's Cup, but there could be some movement internally within the conference.
Yeah, and a lot of the movement was up the standings by the Nashville Predators, who are on absolute fire, and they pretty much locked themselves into one of those last two wild card spots. And it looks like Vegas and LA have also stabilized things. So we still have other things to talk about, though, don't we, Jeff?
We sure do. The division crowns are still up for grabs.
Yeah, why don't we start with the Central Division? Right now, Dallas is in first place, but Colorado is not far behind, and both teams are playing excellent hockey right now.
Yeah, I think that Colorado has a real shot at catching Dallas, but what do you guys think?
I think you might be overestimating their chances a little bit. Dallas has the lead, Dallas has the better goaltending, and I think Dallas is just such a solid team from top to bottom that it's going to be really hard to shake them from that position.
They are looking very solid up and down the lineup, but there is no denying Colorado's top-end talent. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon has been on an MVP-quality year. Cale Makar is amazing as well. So, you know, you can't count these guys out, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not counting them out. I just think that Georgiev has looked shaky lately, and Anunin has no experience as a backup, so that could be an issue for Colorado as they approach the playoffs.
Yeah, two great teams. I can't wait to see who comes out on top.
Okay, well, how about we move over and take a look at the battle for the Pacific here?
Oh, yeah, no, tensions are rising in the South China Sea for sure.
Now, let's get Pacific here. We're talking about the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. Now, guys, right now, Vancouver has the lead.
Yeah, but that lead has been fading, and Vancouver's not playing their best hockey, and Demko has been out of the lineup for a while. Not really sure when he'll be back. I think they're vulnerable. I don't think they hang on.
Yeah, I mean, Edmonton has just been on such a tear since Chris Knobloch came in. Connor McDavid leading the way, of course. They have been playing excellent, excellent hockey. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Edmonton ends up capturing this Pacific crown.
And these two teams will meet on April 14th, and there could be a lot on the line.
Ooh, that could be a dandy matchup.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one.
Let's just take a quick second and look at some of the teams that missed the cut.
Yeah, we're going to do a couple of obituaries for the sad teams that have fallen. So who do we want to look at first here?
I think we should probably begin with the Minnesota Wild. Pretty high expectations, at least to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, for me, the story in Minnesota was too much splurgeon and not enough spurgeon.
Explain.
Well, they had a lot of money tied up in dead cap space with the Suter and Parise contracts eating up a lot. And Jared Spurgeon, their captain, their best defenseman, missed most of the season. And because of that money they'd spent, they didn't have the depth to make up for some of the losses that they had.
Yeah, we all knew those moves were going to come back to bite them. Also, you know, Kirill Kaprizov missed some time during the regular season. He is undoubtedly their best player. So that did not help their chances at all either.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame too. Eriksson Ek, I thought, had a breakout season this year, and he was also banged up down the stretch.
Yeah, just not a lot of luck for Minnesota this year, but hopefully they can come back stronger next year.
Yeah, they do have one more heavy year of cap pain, but there is hope because guys like Brock Faber, Marco Rossi, Matthew Boldy, these are good young players who are just scratching the surface.
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully brighter days ahead.
Guys, we have to take a moment to talk about the Calgary Flames. Now, this is a team that started off with playoff aspirations. They got off to a terrible start, and they've never been able to recover.
Yeah, and they got to a point where they just had to start selling off assets. So they sent out Tanev and Zadorov and Hanifin and, of course, Elias Lindholm as well. So that's a huge chunk of their lineup that's gone. I'm not really sure what's going to happen moving forward in Calgary.
Yeah, pretty bare cupboards for them. Offensively, you know, they just didn't really have the firepower this year. They were hoping for a bounce back from Jonathan Huberdeau.
Big disappointment.
Yeah, that did not materialize at all. I mean, Blake Coleman had a pretty good year. Nazem Kadri had a great second half, but that's just not enough to get you into the playoffs in this league.
Yeah, and I worry about their future. They're going to be in that muddy middle because they've got these guys on big tickets. I don't think you'll be able to move a Huberdeau or a Kadri at this point. So they might just be a bubble team for the next while.
And lots of questions surrounding Markstrom. I think those will get figured out in the offseason.
Yeah, let's look forward to that. That'll be a fun thing to break down.
Yeah, with blue chip prospect Dustin Wolf coming up, I think Markstrom's going to be sent packing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which direction Calgary goes next year.
So how about we do one last one in the West here? Let's talk a little bit about the St. Louis Blues. Their season looks like it's over as well. Any thoughts on this team?
They just couldn't seem to get it going consistently, and it's surprising that Jordan Binnington has actually been pretty good this year.
Yeah, he worked hard to limit the number of total meltdowns he had mid-game, so that was a good thing.
Yeah, the problem, though, is just not enough heat from that offense. You know, you've only got one really elite scorer, Robert Thomas, with a breakout season, point-per-game clip, but guys like Jordan Kyrou, even Pavel Buchnevich, these guys have to give you more because this is the front line.
Yeah, they didn't get enough from their veterans either. Shen with a bit of a down year.
Yeah, for sure.
Not sure what he has left. He plays such a hard physical game.
Yeah, his best years may be behind him. The D-core as well, aging D-core, they're not getting a lot of offense from those guys back there. So that's something they're going to have to address.
Yeah, they changed coaches this year, and it just didn't quite work out for them.
Yeah, the coach didn't have much to work with. I don't think it was a coaching issue, and we're seeing that now. Similar results with a new coach. So
yeah, end of an era, though, in St. Louis. I think their days of cup aspirations are firmly in the past.
Yeah, only question, do they go retool, or do they try to go for a full rebuild?
Yeah, good question. We'll have to see what happens next year with this team.
All right, boys, let's move over to the Eastern Conference, where we still have a couple of exciting races down the stretch.
Yes, there are two playoff spots up for grabs, both wild cards, and it looks like there are three teams jockeying for that position. So let's take a look at these three teams and see who has the inside lane.
Yeah, okay. I mean, none of these teams are particularly inspiring, but I do think we have to start with the Washington Capitals. This is a team that I think a lot of us were down on throughout most of the season, but Alexander Ovechkin has really put this team on his back and moved them into a playoff spot.
I can't believe it, guys. This does not make any sense. They have a horrible goal differential. How have they managed to stay in the playoff race?
Well, those numbers are skewed by the fact that they were just god-awful at the start of the year. They were getting blown out. But one thing that's been solidified is the goaltending and the emergence of Charlie Lindgren. He's kind of taken the reins as the starter now, and they have the best goaltending of the three teams in the race, so I like their chances.
That's right. The Detroit Red Wings have had a real tough time in net. Alex Lyon has really faded.
Yeah, it's been tough between the pipes for them. James Reimer has not been much better. I know you're a big fan of his, right, Mark?
How is he still in the league? But the issue is, of course, Ville Husso, their starter, has been out for a while, and it looks like he might not return this year. So they're going to have to get it done with Lyon and Reimer, which does not inspire confidence.
And how about the Philadelphia Flyers and their goaltending?
Also awful. I mean, obviously, Carter Hart had to step away from the game, and they really haven't found anyone to fill his shoes or his skates, so to say. But there is a goaltender on the horizon, potentially, that might be able to bail them out here at the end of the year.
Yeah, they brought in this Russian prospect, Fedotov. They've signed him. He's 26 years old, so he's got experience, played in the KHL this year, put up nice numbers. They need something. I would throw him in there and see what he's got, because they need to pivot hard right now. They're falling.
Yeah, he is a big dude. He's been playing in the KHL for a few years. He's had some success there too. So they need a goaltender. Samuel Arison has had a pretty good year, but he's also faded.
No, Arison has just been overplayed because they could not trust their backup. The Cal Peterson experiment is over. Sandstrom was called up. He's not really been the answer either. So Fedotov is the last stab at this, I think, for the Flyers.
And what about offensively? What do you guys think of these three teams?
Well, I think for me, the standout's the Capitals, and their power play is humming again. This is where a lot of Ovechkin's offense has been coming from. You got Carlson back there, who's such a good power play quarterback. And Strome has kind of been filling that role of the Nicholas Backstrom, who's a dual threat shooter and a good setup man as well.
Yeah, I do like their power play. Connor McMichael's been okay for them as well. I think Detroit is a little more balanced offensively. Dylan Larkin has come back, and he's obviously their most important forward for sure. And Patrick Kane, he was hurt for a little while, but he is back now. He potted an assist on the Saturday games. So, you know, if he can get his game going, I think he's an important piece for them.
And how about the Philadelphia Flyers? Do they have enough weapons
to make it into the playoffs?
Yeah, this is an area of concern. You had the coach benching captain Sean Couturier. He's playing on the fourth line right now with Cam Atkinson, so that's not a good sign. These are guys that were supposed to be main contributors.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Travis Konecny's been pretty good for them. Recently, Owen Tippett, he's been close to a point per game, but I don't think the offense is nearly as dynamic as it needs to be to get them into the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, I'm just not sure it's going to be enough to make up for that leaky goaltending.
No, there is the factor that I think we're forgetting, and that is the balls of this team. Are the balls going to be enough to get them into the playoffs?
Yes.
Well, John Tortorella, right, he's going to try to lead them there, but who's going to follow? It looks like there might be a few mutineers aboard the ship.
Yeah, Torts has a bit of a shelf life. Has he expired for this season? I guess we'll find out.
So, guys, who are you picking?
You know, I don't love any of these options. In fact, I'm going to throw this out there. We didn't really talk about them, but I could see the Islanders sneaking back in if those three teams falter.
Yeah, they're not dead.
They're not dead, so let's just keep that in mind. But I guess by default, it will be Washington and Detroit. I think they're not playing as badly as the Flyers are, but I don't know. This one seems like a coin toss.
I mean, I'm going to have to agree with you, Mark. I think that these are the two best teams on paper for sure. I think Philly's been punching above their weight all season, and I think it's finally catching up with them.
And I hate to agree with you guys, but I'm going to have to say the Capitals and the Red Wings, they're going to take those last two spots.
And we've also got a couple great races for division titles in both the Atlantic and the Metro.
Yeah, in the Atlantic Division, we have the Boston Bruins heading it up currently, followed closely behind by the Florida Panthers. Both teams have had excellent seasons. Any thoughts on which team you think is going to emerge victorious here?
Yeah, the Florida Panthers have had a fantastic season, but they are stumbling down the stretch here.
That's true, but Boston has also cooled off. And let's keep this in mind. These two teams play each other next Saturday night. It's going to be a huge four-point game.
Ooh, yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch. I really like both these teams. I think it's a bit of a toss-up. Florida on paper is better, but Boston has been defying expectations all year, so I don't really know.
Jeff, whoever loses out on the division crown is going to play your Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you have a preference?
I'm scared either way. I guess the Leafs probably match up a little bit better against Boston.
Yeah, careful what you wish for there.
That worked out really well for you guys last year.
And the time before that, and the time before that.
Yeah. If that turns out to be the case, it'll be fun.
Classic series.
Well, let's move over to the Metro, and we have a fantastic race for the top spot.
Yeah, the Carolina Hurricanes are staying right in that race, nipping at the heels of the Rangers. Adding Getzel has been so huge for them.
He's been awesome for them.
And Freddie Anderson is back, so now they've got a two-headed goaltending monster that looks solid as well. So that's a tough team. They're going to be right on the Rangers. They're going to have to keep winning in New York.
New York has been hot.
They sure have, and they have the benefit of playing a much easier schedule down the stretch here than Carolina does. Carolina has some tough games, especially against Boston, coming up. So, you know, I would give the slight edge to the New York Rangers here.
As would I.
Yeah, the fact that they're already up a couple points in the standings and that they've got the easier schedule, I think it's a slam dunk. Rangers are going to win this division.
Yeah, but both are going to be terrifying opponents in the playoffs for sure.
Now, I hate to darken the mood here, guys, but let's talk about obituaries. Which teams are you most surprised didn't make the playoffs?
Well, I think we should start with your Stanley Cup pick, the New Jersey Devils. I'm shocked that they're not in the playoffs.
Yes, it was a tough year from the get-go with New Jersey. So much talent, so much promise. They just weren't able to put it together this year.
Yeah, they let go of Lindy Ruff, but they didn't get much of a bump.
No, well, losing Dougie Hamilton at the start of the year was a massive blow to what was a very young D-Cor. They needed him to stabilize the back end. And then when you've got the goaltending that they had for this the whole year too, that's just too much to come back from.
New acquisition Jake Allen's played pretty well.
Yeah, I think he'll be a solid goalie for them next year, although I don't think he'll be the starter. I think they're going to go shopping in the offseason for a true number one.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. But I mean, obviously, Jack and Luke Hughes, elite talents. Luke Hughes has really come on this year, and I expect him to grow into a larger role next year as well.
Yeah, you will have to wonder, you know, Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier missed a lot of time as well.
For sure.
Yeah, health was an issue for those guys. Hopefully they can be healthy next year. And Simone Nemec is another guy I think is going to take a big step forward next season. So the Devils are going to be right back in the playoff conversation next season. Yeah. So lots of hope there.
Yeah, I think so too. But we do have to move on and talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins here. Ooh. This is a team, they're going to be out of the playoffs again for the second year in a row. Is this the final nail in the end of the era coffin for the Pittsburgh Penguins?
I feel terrible for Sidney Crosby. He's had an excellent season.
And what a player. You got to wonder, is he going to stick around through what looks like You know, this can be a losing team. Is he going to stick around to retire a Penguin, or will the itch come back? Maybe he'll head somewhere else, maybe play with his old buddy Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado, for example.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, I mean, these kinds of conversations would have been unthinkable just a few seasons ago, but it's starting to look like a real possibility.
I do not envy Kyle Dubas. He has a lot of tough decisions to make this offseason.
Yeah, well, he made a pretty bad one, it looks like, last offseason, bringing in Erik Karlsson. That did not work out. And they've got that massive contract to throw that on top of the Malkin and Letang and Crosby long-term contracts. I don't know. They're kind of stuck.
Yes, not a lot in the cupboard either in terms of prospects going forward for this team. So it could be some dark days ahead. They may have to start selling off these veteran players and start the rebuild.
Well, I think that about wraps up our stretch run report.
Yeah, we are in for a great end to the regular season. So let's just sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Yes, it is a fun time of year for sure.
All right, so what's up next? The mailbag?
No. Let's not forget, we have your episode of the documentary film, A Day in the Life. This time it's Jeff.
Yeah, more like a night in the life.
Yes, it was quite a night for Jeff. For those of you who don't know, we won the receipt lottery. So we came into some money, and documentarian Herbert Bernard Owens, HBO, decided to follow each of us around just to sort of see what makes us tick. So we did A Day in the Life of John, first episode, and now, Jeff, it's your turn.
All right, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, you probably don't remember it anyway. I'll be like watching it for the first time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So let's see what's going on.
That are members of the NRA, many more millions, tens of millions, who are gun owners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ready to go?
Yeah. I thought you weren't coming till the afternoon.
It's 1 p.m.
Is it really?
Yep.
So you're tailing me for the day, yeah?
That's the plan.
All right, it's Guy Zamboni.
Hey, Jeff, I got your coffee and the keys. Oh, and your wallet.
Anything left in there?
I think you need to go to the ATM today.
What? There must have been 20 grand in there.
Well, did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was another wild one.
Maison.
Ooh. Yeah, so I usually start my day off with a couple of super soupaus, you know, for the electrolytes, just to sort of rehydrate. It's a beautiful day out here. I usually like to begin the day with some danbing. Unfortunately, it's too late and it's closed, so we're just going to run into the 7-Eleven here. And I like to get a banana and a rice triangle. You know, 7-Elevens in Taiwan are fantastic. Well, 2-for-1 Japanese beers. Can't say no to that. Hey, mon ami, I got a beer for you too.
Oh, okay. That's an early start, huh?
Hey, it's got to be happy hour somewhere. And it is hump day.
Good point.
Is drinking on the street allowed?
Drinking on the street? Yeah, no, it's totally legal. We always do it in Taipei. Well, I mean, the locals don't, but... Yeah, so, you know, usually for the afternoons, I just kind of like to kick it back here at the park and just sort of relax. I mean, there's a 7-Eleven right there if I need a beer. It's also got a bathroom, too, which is kind of nice.
Hey, buddy, I'm hungry. Are we going to go eat?
What? Now?
It's been 4 hours already.
Yeah, good call. I mean, I guess if we're going to drink all night, you need a good base in your stomach.
I know a dumpling shop over here.
Oh, yeah? They got beers?
Oui.
All right, let's go. Ugh. I am stuffed. Here we are at the cocktail lounge. It's a great way to start the evening.
Thank you for dinner, Jeff.
Hey, man, no problem, man. No problem. My treat. All right, how much are these? Whoa! I'm already out of money?
Don't worry, Jeff. Give me your wallet. I go to the bank for you.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man. You remember my password, yeah?
Always.
So I'll get you a whiskey?
Top shelf.
Sure, of course. So here we are outside of Taipei 101. They got some awesome clubs around here. You know, Taiwan has an amazing nightlife. Guy, so what are we going to do? Got to line up here?
Pas besoin. I got us a table.
You did? How?
I gave your card to the manager. Don't worry, we can drink all night.
Oh, cheers. Thanks, man. Let's tie one on. Whoa, it's rammed in here. We got the drinks.
Should we hit the dance floor?
Before we do, you need to understand something. Hold your drink in one hand and then pump the air with the other. That way you don't move too much.
Cool! Like this?
More rhythm. Pump harder.
Okay, I think I got it. All right, ladies, who needs a drink?
I want one too.
Yeah, sure.
Make sure to get the good ice. The good clubs, they always have the good ice in the back. But it's expensive.
Hey, no problem, Guy Zamboni. I trust you on the ice. I'll pay for that. Hey! Hey, Trey Shots!
Oi, oi, mate! This isn't the bar!
Oh, it's not. Where's the bar?
Is that Jiffy from the Rod Langway Fan Club Podcast?
Hey, DJ Redlight! How's it going, buddy? All right. Hey, you need drinks?
Oi, couple rounds for me and the boys!
Let's go! Hold on, man. My phone's ringing.
Who is it?
It's Mark from the podcast. Hey, buddy. How's it going? Poker dead. No way, man. We're going to Roxy Vibe. Closed? It's 3 a.m. It's just getting on. 2 years ago? Whoa, it's getting late, buddy. I'm really feeling it.
Enivrez-vous. Il faut être toujours ivre.
What's that mean?
Always be drunken.
Who said that?
It's Baudelaire.
Baudelaire? He played defense for the Canadiens?
That's Beaujolais.
Oh, the Taipei sun always comes too soon. Well, hey, buddy, that was a fun night.
I don't know what happened with that girl, though. I thought I was in.
Écoute, mon chum, 5 a.m. on the dance floor, the girl, they don't want to hear about your hockey podcast.
Fair enough, man.
Oh, no, I think I forgot my wallet down there.
No, I have it in my pocket.
Oh, thanks a lot. You hold on to it. Let's grab something to eat.
I know a great place.
All right, they got beers?
Okay, Jeff, wow. Guy Zamboni, eh? You sure you trust this guy with your wallet?
Well, I think he's a good guy.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, he helped me out with the ice and stuff.
Also a gun runner. I mean, yeah. Bit of a shady character. I don't know, dude.
He's got a heart of gold, I'd say. But yeah, I don't know, man. Just be a little careful with your cash.
It's fine. I'm out there living the best life possible, guys.
Okay, whatever you say.
It's not looking too good over there for right now, but sure, bud. I believe you.
Okay, well, why don't we move on here? Let's hit the mailbag.
Sorry. What was the question? I would totally veto that. What kind of league are we running here anyways? I'll have to consult the rule book on that one. Remember the trade guidelines. Can we get some friendly questions here? You guys have got to dress your players.
Okay, this is everybody's favorite segment. This is Ask the Commish. You can still get your questions in last minute. Remember, email us at rodlangwayfanclub@gmail.com or send us a tweet at Rod Langway Fan Club.
Okay, so what do we have first?
Let's start with an audio message that we received in our Facebook account from Rycast.
Yeah, Ryan, friend of the show. What's Ryan say?
Hey there, boys. Ryan here, longtime listener, first-time caller. I just had a kind of a focus question. I'm from Seattle, big Kraken fan, and I know this year has been pretty disappointing, what with all the injuries and the complete and utter lack of scoring. I'm just curious if you guys have a couple of thoughts as to how all this great talent that took us to the playoffs last year could turn around and kind of just crumble this year. So, yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Go Kraken.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Ryan. Yeah, disappointing season for Seattle. They had all that excitement for their first year. In their second year, they made the playoffs. They upset the Colorado Avalanche. But this year, they just didn't have it.
Yeah, I think we have to start with Matty Beniers, who after a sensational rookie campaign in which he put up 57 points this year through 68 games, 32 points. The sophomore slump has gotten him. And with a team that really has trouble scoring, to have that happen to one of your best players, hard to recover from.
Yes, they definitely were having trouble putting the puck in the net. I mean, leading scorer Jared McCann, last year he had 40 goals. It looks like this year he will hit 30, but a bit of a regression there. Oliver Bjorkstrand, he was their second leading scorer, but he was a pretty ugly minus 24 through this length of the season. Not great there. They had some injuries too. Vince Dunn is out for the year, so Dunn is done. Seattle looks like they're done as well.
If there is some optimism, it might be Shane Wright, who just completed his first year of pro hockey in the AHL.
Yeah, he is a big part of the franchise moving forward. But Jeff, I don't know, that's a bit of a glass half full take. I mean, if you look at other guys in his draft class, Juraj Slepkovský, Logan Cooley, they're in the NHL and they're putting up numbers. So for Shane Wright to be less than a point per game in the AHL, I'm not sure if he's looking like that surefire star they were hoping they were getting at fourth overall.
Yeah, they also didn't quite get enough between the pipes. I mean, Philip Grubauer didn't have a great year. Joey Decord, for at least a really decent stretch, was looking like a really good goalie, but he's tailed off a little bit. So, I still think there's some question marks between the pipes as well.
Yeah, let's keep in mind, this is a team completing their third season in the NHL. Lots of work to be done. I think you're going to have to exercise some patience, Ryan.
Okay, guys, I think we have time for one more. What's up next?
We have a tweet here from Hail Mary, and Mary just writes, what do you guys think of the Minnesota Wild pulling their goalie twice in overtime?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Mary. This is a bold strategy. Now, for the first time, it worked out for Minnesota, but recently it didn't.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a strange rule. A lot of hockey fans, us included, didn't even realize that this was a rule. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, I did a little research on this one. Rule 84.2, it says that should that team lose the game during the time in which the goalkeeper has been removed, it would forfeit the automatic point gained in the tie at the end of regulation play. So, wow. Yeah. Wild move by Minnesota. Worked out once, didn't work out the second time. I think generally speaking, it's not a good move because wouldn't you rather just take your chances in the shootout and take that automatic point?
Yeah, I would bank that point and go from there.
Yeah. I don't really see the logic in it. I mean, I guess maybe if you were last game of the season, you're fighting for your playoff life, that would be one time you might do it if you needed the 2 points. But just to do it randomly, it seemed sort of towards the end of the year, weird strategy.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed message to the players too. Yeah, you're going for it in overtime, but aren't you also kind of telling your goalie that I don't trust you to make the saves in the shootout, and maybe to your skaters that I don't think you can score in the shootout? I don't know. It's odd.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much of this we'll see going forward.
Yeah, I'm just not sure we're going to see this one catch on.
Okay, well, I guess that about wraps it up for this show. We're looking forward to the next one. It's going to be a big one. Of course, the playoff preview is coming
up.
Yes,
I cannot wait.
Yeah, it is just around the corner. We'll be back in less than 3 weeks to bring to you my favorite show of the season, the playoff preview.
Yeah, and we also have a day in the life of Mark coming up, so I'm sure our listeners are waiting with bated breath for that one.
That should be fun. Well, listen, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you soon, and I hope you had yourselves a time.
Well, I hope you had yourselves a time. Hope you had yourselves a time. Hope you had time. Yourselves a time. You had hope you had yourselves a time. Well, I hope you had yourselves a time. Hope time. Hope you had a time. Time. Hope you had yourselves a time. Yourselves a time. Time. Well, I hope you had yourselves a time. Hope time. Hope time. Hope you had.